Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
Listen, welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. This is the Knucklehead, Steven. I got with me today, it's an old friend, a blast from the past, Kyle Geithner. Kyle Geithner is, he's out there in California. So welcome to the show, Kyle. What's happening, buddy?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It's interesting for those of you who, I spent some time in the Marine Corps. Marine Corps affords you the opportunity to grow your network, grow your friendship, grow some relationships. And sometimes you get messages from guys that you used to run around with. So Kyle and I actually deployed together back in the day. So we went through the entire prep scenario. He was part of a different platoon than I was in, part of the same unit, and so it's nice to reconnect with fellow Marines for sure. So what you been up to, man? What's going on with you?
You know, not much. Enjoying the California weather, I'll tell you that much. It's been like 90.
That's humble is what that is. You got
cold. Oh yeah, 92 degrees all week.
This is not much. You've been working your tail off is what you've been doing.
Yeah, definitely. I just started at basically a startup engineering firm. It's called BC Engineering Group over here in Santa Rosa, California, the area that was impacted heavily by the October wildfires in 2017. So just been working, kind of rebuilding the civil infrastructure and, trying to do big things.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So, well, if you're doing big things, then that means there's some big challenges that you're attacking. Give some of our listeners an idea of kind of where you started from. I mean, what caused you to decide on being a civil engineer? What caused you to join the Marine Corps? And then how did you use those principles and that structure, so to speak, to get to where you're at right now, man?
Yeah. So, I live here in Windsor, California. So it's, I would say like 7 minutes north of Santa Rosa. Santa Rosa being one of the bigger cities north of San Francisco. So it's pretty easy to find, but I grew up here. It's pretty rural. My family, I come from a Hispanic background. I speak fluent Spanish. My family, you know, my grandpa, main guy, big time farm worker, missing some fingers and stuff, but always out on the farm doing, the orchards over here and kind of raised me with that mentality of like, you know, work. Yep. I was 9-10 years old up on a roof, taking shingles off, you know, throwing it down, only tied on by a rope connected to him. So,
how many roofs did you fall off in your time gaining that experience, my friend?
Just one. I fell through a skylight one time and,
never again.
Yeah. Never again.
It was a high school job at one point. I still have some holes in my hand. It's like a dent from, we used to lay, waterbed mattresses down on the ground whenever we rip shingles off. So then we would pick up those waterbed mattresses that were full of shingles and dump them. And one time I pushed like this and one of the nails was actually stuck through and went right into my hand. So,
oh wow.
Midwest work ethic there for you.
And so I basically did that. My uncle was a Marine, a recon Marine, and he kind of instilled in me that whole like, oh, you're not gonna do it, you know, and kind of challenged me and stuff, kind of growing up in a little meaner way, you know. But he was like, oh, you don't have it or something. And so I already knew I was gonna be a Marine, and part of it was to prove it to him. And the other part was I was actually sitting in my room one day, and everybody needs that little push to actually join. You know, I knew I wanted to go, but everybody needs that push. And so I was actually sitting there up in my room, and I don't know why this thought came to me, but it basically came to me saying like, hey, you know, those guys that are actually deployed out there in Iraq, because it was Iraq at the time, I was like, you know, they're actually, if no one joined, no one volunteered to go and take their place, they wouldn't really be able to come home. And so for some reason, I don't know why that hit me, but I was like, you know what, I'll go to let that Marine you know, come home for a little bit. I'll take his place. And, you know, sure enough, I joined the Marine Corps, and right after, you know, heavy or engineering equipment operating school, I, you know, I got to Okinawa, went straight to Iraq. I think a month or a couple weeks in, they said, hey, you know, do you want to go? And I was like, yeah, let's go. And so signed up, and I think we left in 2008. I joined in 2007, so you could see the quickness there. Yeah, I want to say it was like the beginning of August or end of July in 2007. So went, you know, immediately after. So
wow. So you're talking about less than a year in the fleet. You were actually tagged for your first, or pegged for one of your first deployments.
Yeah, I think it was like a month in the fleet because during, in between, you know, MCT and everything, I tried to take vacations. So by that time, I think we deployed in September. So I hit the fleet, I want to say May. And so, and that's including our 29 Palms, you know, and all that training. So it's like right when I got to the fleet, boom, we started training, we started going. So that was a part of it, you know, and then becoming an engineer equipment operator, I thought it was really cool. I was doing a lot of horizontal construction, you know, building roads or learning how to. And so when I got out, you know, or prior to getting out, you know, TAPS and TAMS, you're thinking, what am I going to do? You know, Marine Corps is taking care of you. You're basically a kid still, you know, they take care of you in every way. They feed you, give you a place to sleep, you know, and pay you some money to go have fun. So I was starting to get nervous. Luckily for me, I had a cousin, that had already started school in the Marine Corps. We actually crossed paths in Afghanistan when I deployed again. He kind of helped me out with the whole GI Bill and everything. And so I hit the school and I was like, oh man, what do I study? And I was like, well, you know, I have engineering in my resume. I was like, maybe I do engineering. I was like, I think I like math. a lot of math.
That's in practice in school.
Yeah. And so I started actually I thought, I was like, well, I was a military engineer technically, right? In a sense. And that was one of the first forms of engineering. The second form of engineering is civil engineering in, you know, trying to maintain a civilization, you know, and that's coming down to just sewage, you know, and any, just transporting that, trying to keep people healthy. And so I was like, wow, how cool would that be doing one and two, you know, like the first two types of engineering that ever existed. So I kind of went down that path and, you know, and started, you know, going to school at I started the junior college right here in Santa Rosa. You know, pretty humble, you know, I didn't, you know, just jump in and get to a university, but I, you know, I busted my ass there. I got pretty good grades. I applied to Berkeley, one of the number one civil engineering schools in the nation. So it's right here in my backyard. So I was like, well, let me try. And kind of a crazy thing, I was the only school I applied to. And it wasn't necessarily me wanting to do that. I started my classes and I kind of read my requirements incorrectly, I started taking a couple classes that I didn't need, and so I wasn't able to apply to any other school. So it was either Berkeley or nothing. Luckily I got in, you know, and there, that's kind of where I started hitting some issues with, you know, self-doubt and, you know, and kind of that whole recognition thing. An outcast, number one. Marine, one of the most liberal schools in the nation. Yeah.
What you're just talking about there, it's important for those of you who are listening that when you say outcast, some people are going to go, what are you talking about, man? You're going to be able to go to a school, one of the best in your profession. Mm-hmm. What do you mean you're an outcast? You prefaced it by saying self-doubt. So build on that a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by outcast. Mm-hmm. And you did go to one of the more liberal environments in the country as a Marine, which, you know, is a neoconservative, everybody thinks about us, establishment, Marine Corps, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. What was it about being an outcast and how'd you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a liberal school. Then luckily for me, they had a pretty good veteran community there that I kind of went and introduced myself to. But yeah, I mean, some of these kids, you know, they're not, and that was kind of one of the things that helped me in my career, but they're not very good at, you know, communication, but they are beyond intelligent. They are, you know, just really the tip of the spear in that aspect. And so I got there and I'm coming from, you know, Santa Rosa Junior College, which is a pretty renowned junior college, getting, you know, being top of the class most of the time, to getting to the school where I'm struggling to get a B, you know, and these kids are making it seem like it's second nature. And the whole, you know, being a little bit older, and being military, you know, and having some tattoos, you know, I have my military tattoo, and
that's a requirement. Yeah, I understand. Yeah,
and so some people, you know, they're looking at me like, "What are you doing here?" And instantly judging me, you know, as if, you know, just in any shape or form. And I had to kind of overcome that with, you know, kind of setting smaller goals. Like I was like, you know, I know I'm not going to. There's, you know, maybe this one class that I failed every midterm. And that was a kind of reoccurring thing is, you know, being at Berkeley, it was crazy. Yeah, I would fail almost every test. And I'm serious. I'm talking about failing as in, like, I would get a 50 on it. I would get a 60 on it, you know? Wow. And mind you, the average would be like maybe a 70 or something, but I'm still failing it. And I'm still, you know, a standard deviation away from the mean. And in that sense, and people, you know, the guys I'm talking to and everything, they're like, "Oh, I did well." And how much of that do I believe? Because I know that, you know, I'm looking at my grade and I'm like, man, are they? Am I just, you know, not getting it? Do I not belong here at this establishment? Did I, you know, not kind of internalize all the information that they were giving me at the JC? Did I just kind of pass the classes and get here? And, you know, and so all of that I was kind of dealing with and trying to, you know, figure out, you know, that yes, I do belong. And I took an entrepreneurial class at Berkeley, and that was kind of one of the classes that started introducing me to, you know, how to win friends and influence people. We started reading all these books, and I realized the gift of gab, the thing that I have that all these, you know, nerdy Berkeley engineers didn't have, is what's going to set me apart.
Yep. Absolutely. So what you said, we talked about this last night in a couple, in a different podcast with somebody else, but the Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich, where he talks about every single adversity carries with it the seed of equivalent or greater benefit. Mm-hmm. And what you found is you found the seed. Now it was up to you to have to actually, you know, take care of that seed and mm-hmm. to grow that seed and, you know, create an environment where it could actually flourish and take root. And now what you've done is you've because of the work that you put in several years ago, and because of the consistency, the, you know, the constant analysis every time you failed, what you've done is you've now started to sprout some growth. I mean, you're at an engineering firm now, completely, you successfully graduated from Berkeley.
Yes.
You started a family, and now you're going to be building on top of that, which is exactly what gets some wins is. That's exactly what it is that you're doing. And you weren't beta about the process.
No, not at all.
And just to kind of give some backstory here, let's parallel your story with another story. That story is, you know, during one of our deployments in our preps, we were going to Mojave Viper. Things happen whenever you're getting, you know, trained to go places, and life still happens. And so we had gotten a Red Cross message, and think about this from a knucklehead standpoint. We're sitting here trying to take care of one of our Marines, you know, get him back to where he's close to his family. And that means that we need to leave Mojave Viper and take somebody over to Palm Springs. Well, in that transition, we have people who are just being absolute idiots. They decided that they wanted to go jump on the transport and leave to go and get a break from Mojave Viper by going out and having some fun in Palm Springs. We had one guy who actually went UA in training. He went down to San Diego just to go have a good time. I mean, it was, these are knuckleheaded things that people don't think about the consequences on down the line. And they don't even think about the compromised reputation now that unit has back home. They don't think about, oh my gosh, my wife, my kids, my family, the country. They're praying for us. They're making sure that they got our six covered. Yeah. And yet, in that transition, there was a whole bunch of guys who were out there trying to just act a fool and be crazy and not respect the rules or not respect that time. So, you know, it is what it is. People do stupid things all the time. But you talk about being a knucklehead. That was an example, and that was another reason why we, you know, we use that as a parallel to your story, because what you did is you thought, okay, what can I pull from this experience, this failure, to learn and be better? Whereas these other guys were, how can I exploit that opportunity to just get what it is that I want?
Yeah.
And sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, but quite frankly, the path of least resistance doesn't lead to the right decision in most cases.
Yeah. And a good example of that is now being at this, you know, brand new engineering firm. You know, I'm kind of relying on the people that started it. And there was three of them, you know, and so they're my mentors and I'm helping them build this. And I know that I'm, you know, a great asset. And one of the things that I'm realizing is kind of those people trying to exploit, you know, situations is, you know, if you're coming to me asking me to help you with, you know, the county, all the state, you know, we're dealing with all these entities. And if I'm telling you something, it's something you can take to the bank. You know, if I'm like, hey, you know, okay, you got a grading violation. You're not supposed to move earth really without, you know, the county's knowledge and their approval. And some people don't know that. They're like, hey, this is my property. I'm going to move it. And, you know, they run into a lot of issues. And so one thing that I notice is, I'll suggest, hey, okay, don't do any more work. Stop. Let me come up with something. And they'll be like, okay, yeah, I will. And I'll do that. And I go out to the site, or I turn that in, and then the county goes out to the site, you know, fully trusting, and they keep doing work. And and they're just trying to get around the situation and putting bandages on it. You know, it's like you got a big water leak and you're just trying to stick bandages all over this and hoping that it's not going to just keep failing. And it's funny because it's like, you know, that's, to me, that's being just a knucklehead and not, you know, paying attention to what's right in front of you.
Yep. Yep. That's going to create some compelling case studies. As you continue to move forward, you're going to be like, let me tell you about my friend. Let me tell you about this, you know? So that's going to be interesting, man. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited for you. It's good to see a Marine. First of all, an individual decide to leverage the skills and the framework that you were taught in the Marine Corps, go apply it to your situation, you know, use those stages of growth. And instead of following structured thinking, what you've done is you followed a structured process, and that structured process has netted you out some good opportunities. So that's awesome, man. What can people do to find you? I mean, how do you want to leave it here?
Yeah, no. So we're all over, you know, and that's kind of one of the things that I've been trying to do. We have a blog out, BC Engineering Group. Yeah. You know, everything civil. We're trying to be, you know, at the forefront of all that information, because we're, you know, the people that everybody calls when they need to know about endangered species on their land, like everything like that, you know, tiger salamander, it's like a big deal out here. So, you know, we help everybody and we try to get that information to people. And, you know, we try to hit every avenue online of advertisements. So easy online. If you see BC Engineering, and if you know anybody here in, you know, Sonoma County that was, you know, affected by the wildfires, you know, definitely have them call, reach out. We try to expedite their grading, put them at the forefront, get them back in their houses, you know.
That's awesome. Do you have an email address, a website, or a Facebook page, Instagram, anything like that?
Yeah. So my personal email is kg@bcengineeringgroup.com. And the website, you can find my picture up on the website and everything, but it's BC Engineering Group.
BC Engineering Group.
Yeah. And, yeah. And like I said, you know, we're out here just trying to help people. Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you taking some time. Listen, there's a lot of people in a similar type situation where they use all the things that you struggled with as the reasons why they're not where they want to be. They use that experience of the junior college not affording them the opportunity to get into Berkeley or Maybe they failed on a test and, you know, their world collapses and falls apart. But quite frankly, adversity carries with it the development of character. And as you develop more character, and so adversity carries with it the development of character because you have an opportunity to overcome. That's all it is. Adversity is strength. I mean, you build muscle that way. You build mental resilience and grit and determination. All those things factor into why you are where you are, and no doubt where you'll hit the goals that you want to have. So,
yeah,
or that you've set for yourself. So that's awesome, man. I appreciate you taking some time. Anything else that you want to wrap up, or excuse me, say before we wrap up here?
No, I think that's about it.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you reaching out. And to everybody else, remember, don't be beta about the process. Go out and get you some wins and make today a great day. We had Kyle Geithner from BC Engineering Group. He told you how to get in touch with them. So make sure you go out and support a Marine, his business up in Northern California. But we'll talk to you soon. Take care.